Epistle of James, please. The Epistle of James, chapter 3. Here's a lovely chapter, mainly taken up with the subject of the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us when we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell, where every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works, the meekness of wisdom. God will bless us the reading of his precious word and that which has gone before. Now I want to just speak a bit on this chapter and do it hopefully with the prophet wisely without the bitterness at all. It's a subject that we certainly can take encouragement from. Let us notice here, first of all in verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing ye shall receive the greater condemnation. You know, the more we teach, the more chance there is of condemnation. The more we preach and teach or take a place in the work of God as overseers and so on, the greater chance there is of stumbling. The greater opportunity there is for others to criticize us and find fault with us. So let us remember this as well. For in many things we offend all. And you know, we all offend. We all offend at some point, sometime, in some measure. And the more we teach, the more we're going to offend or cause to stumble. Let us be very careful and wise in this. For it says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle about the whole body. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. If anyone could just never utter a premeditated word that would cause offense, that man is a perfect man. He's come to his desired end. He's reached a perfect, a goal, as it were. A goal set by God. And you know, that's what God would have for every one of us, that we go on and teach and live for him and never cause a word of offense. Well, notice here he's able to bridle the whole body. The tongue affects the whole body. And we'll see, notice this in this lovely chapter. You know, it's not the largest member, but you know, it's so important that it can rule, as it were, and take over the whole body. And you know, the apostle here, he gives us two examples. The example of the horse and the bridle. The example of the ship and the rudder. You know, the huge ship, tons of weight and yet a very small helm or rudder that really steers the ship after all. Think of that large, heavy horse, and think of the little bridle or bit in its mouth that's used to steer that animal and take it on its proper course. And yet, friends, the tongue is a little member in your body and mine, and I believe that God has given it to us for a very definite purpose, that little member will be used to profit, and that we will be used for the glory of God and be taken to our desired end and be something for God as the tongue is used to profit. Notice that in the examples given, a horse is a burden bearer. A ship as well is a burden bearer. They both carry loads. They're both used to move loads of cargo. And you know, the horse, it brings the cargo. It moves it. It's from without. Maybe it's on its back, packs on the back. Or maybe a wagon behind. And there it bears that burden along the pathway. And it's steered or guided by a little bit in its mouth. The huge ship, why the burden of the ship? It's all inside. It's not outside the ship floating behind. No, it's inside. The burden is within. Now, you know, each one of us have a burden. Each one of us are packed with cares. But I would like to think this morning that you have a burden for souls. You have a burden here this morning, and your burden is the Lord's work. You have a burden this morning, and you're an overseer in the assembly, and you find the work is very heavy. The burden is heavy, and you find at times you're weary under the load, and you wonder, can I carry on? For how much longer will God give me strength? As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Well, whether the burden's within the heart, or the burden's without, as you look at the lost and perishing round about you, remember, the ship has a very small rudder, and the horse has a very small bit. And you know, as that bit goes, so goes the horse. And remember, for you and I, as the tongue goes, so goes our body. Oh, be careful how that tongue is used. Now I want you to notice the bit in the horse's mouth. Here, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. You see, you load that horse, or you load the wagon, and you set the horse out. That horse is to take it to a certain destination, a goal. God has laid a burden upon your heart. There's something definite before you in your life as you live it for God. And I believe God will leave you here until that task is done. And yet, you know, we feel weary in the way and wonder if we'll ever make it. But you know, the horse really doesn't want to make it. The horse doesn't really want to make it to the destination. It would sooner hold up right here if it could. But you know, on it goes, and on it goes. The goal is set by God. Let's press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now to think such a large animal with such a heavy load, it's going to be turned about by the little bit in its mouth. Oh yes, there's someone steering the horse with a little bit. That word bridle, it means to bridle, but it really is also the word to lead. There's someone in front of the horse, or with the reins of the horse, and he's leading the horse along to bring the burden to its proper destination. Ah, friends, tonight, Is there anyone in your life leading you along, guiding you along to your proper destination? Ah, friends, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is in the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. But for the believer, the Holy Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. What our tongues need, the little member, is the leading of the Holy Spirit. It needs the Holy Spirit to take over the control of my tongue, so that when I am cast down with a care, I don't speak unwisely with my lips. And my tongue isn't used in a wrong way. I remember these things are from God. And the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me in a path. Maybe I don't want to go that path, the same as the horse wouldn't want to go. But that God knows best. And as He leads, I fall. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway, and I follow on. Always, sometimes we rebel against it, but follow on, follow on. You know, the horse is different, again, from the ship. Why the horse? All the energy that moved that cargo is within the animal. It's all the energy is pent up inside. And you can be sure in from Ephesians 3 that the energy for the believer is the Holy Spirit of God. He shall be in you. And the Spirit of God in us is powerful in us to see that we not only are led in the right way, but that we have power to go on to the end. Christ shall dwell in your hearts by faith, and that all the fullness of the Godhead in the believer, urging us on, as it were, to carry on through to the end. But you know what? The whole thing could be ruined if the tongue is not used properly. Oh, be wise then, and careful as to the use of the tongue. You will notice as well the difference in the ship and the horse. The horse is guided from the front of the animal, put in the bit's mouth. Mouth the horse. But you know, the ship is differently. The rudder doesn't go at the front. The rudder goes at the back. And the burden is in the ship. And the power to move that ship is not inside. It's outside. Now think of it. Those great, huge sailing ships is what was in mind. And those great, huge sailing ships were loaded down with heavy burdens. And you know, we're going to get that ship now out to sea and see it to the other side of the ocean. But how will that ever ship ever make a move? How is it ever going to leave shore? It's going to leave shore if the fierce winds come up. The sail itself would never be enough to move that ship. That sail is dependent upon the fierce winds to drive it, to put it into motion. You know what? That's what you and I don't want in our life. We don't want the winds of affliction. We don't want trouble and sorrow and heartache in our lives. But you know what? Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the longer I live, the more I realize every person I meet has a problem. Every person I meet is faced with trouble of some kind. Of some degree. And I should be very careful how I speak to that person and what my attitude is towards that person. For I've been surprised this weekend at the difficulties and the problems people have that are all hidden and they've been made known to me. And I need to be very wise as how I deal with it. They have got winds of affliction in their life. Would you like to pull the sails down and go back to shore? No, friends. We must carry on and allow those winds to drive us on. You know those fierce winds? Those winds are harsh. Those winds are hard. It's like the word for arteriosclerosis, the hardening of the arteries. Those winds are hard on us. It's hard on the ship. But the ship must take its load. So it must take the wind into the sails. Ah, the harder the winds of affliction press upon your life. God is wanting to shape you and mold you and to put you into a place that He wants you to come to for His honor and glory. So the winds of affliction, they must flow and they must beat upon. But you know the wind mentioned in John chapter 3 is different. It's the Holy Spirit there. And you know the wind bloweth where it listeth, and it's a different word. Why the Holy Spirit never forces or never is hard or harsh. The Holy Spirit is in meekness and eases along. But these winds of affliction, they seem to take no pity upon us. You don't know what the next affliction may be like in your life. I've told people, you think your past has been rough and hard to bear? You may be faced with far worse before you reach the other side. Yes, but remember, these things are needful that we might carry the burden to the other side. All right? The sails could never direct that ship. The winds will never direct that ship in a straight course. But there is a rudder, a helm at the back of the ship, and that is what steers this ship on a straight course. Otherwise, these fierce winds would send the ship anywhere, in any direction, if it wasn't for that helm. And furthermore, somebody at the helm. Somebody at the helm to steer it correctly. And you know, that ship is dependent on the steersman. It is called here the governor. He steers it wherever the governor listeth, wherever the governor wills. I wonder, who's the governor in your life? Who's the guy in your life? Who's the one at the rudder in your life, steering in your life when these afflictions come in to drive you along the way? I wonder, is the Lord Jesus Christ in the vessel? Is the Lord Jesus Christ recognized in your life? Oh, that he might be, and you might feel him at the steering, at the point of command, where he's steering your life on a straight course. We feel it's difficult and hard and we'll never make it. But with Christ in the vessel, why, they soon found out they were safely at the other side. Yes, there's the little helm, a steering, whithersoever the governor listeth, or wherever the governor wills. It's his will, not our will. Are you willing now to submit yourself to the will of God? Come what may, afflictions, trials, why, these are things are sent for our profit and for our benefit. No, notice now, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Well, you know, the tongue is a little member. You can see why it can boast. Why, the rudder, if it could speak, could boast too. Think how it turns that huge ship, or the little bit. If it could speak, it could boast too. Turning that huge horse. Ah, but the tongue can boast great things. It means to reach out the neck. Why? Because of what it's capable of doing. But remember in 1 Corinthians 1:30, he that glorieth, or he that boasteth, let him boast in the Lord. That's where our boasting should be. It's not in what we do, or capable of doing, or what we've accomplished. But he that glorieth, or boasteth, let him boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold how great a matter, a little fire kindled. Now we've been trying to point out in a measure the value of the tongue. The value of the tongue. To take this body and all my life to a straight course. But you know what? The slip of the tongue can ruin the whole work of a man. The slip of a tongue could just change that life of yours, dear sister. The way you use your tongue, why your dress and your deportment and all your manner of life could be just as set in right proportions and all the rest. And your work, young man, could be for God for 30 or 40 years. And yet, the wrong word of the tongue could just seem to mess it all and spoil the whole thing. The tongue is a little member. And notice what it does here. Behold how great a matter. A little fire kindling. You know, these forest fires in northern Ontario, they're terrible. You have them in BC too, I expect. Wiping out acres and acres and acres of land. How did they start? A spark? A match? Very little it took to set this fire on. Oh yes, and behold a greater matter. A little fire kindling. And you know what? The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. Have you noticed it at times in the home? One word set an argument in the home. One wrong word in the assembly. Well, and it goes about and it upsets ever so many people. It's just like a fire. It sweeps around about and does its deadly damage as it moves about. Oh, remember, a spark, an idle word, A wrong word. How great a matter. A little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Your whole body is affected by your tongue. It defiles the whole body. A person that's dirty in their tongue is dirty in their body. A person that tells lies with their tongue cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted. God says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, how wise and careful we need to be in the use of the little member in our body. You know, the little member, we must remember, was for a great value. It's a very valuable thing. Leading, when submitted to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord Jesus Christ, left to itself, the old nature would take over, and it would be used for oaths and cursings. But submitted to the Lord, Holy Spirit, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, could be used for the glory of God. And that's what I intend, I believe, the little member was meant for. You see, from that word member, we get the word melody. And it's used in singing. And you know, that's what I really believe that member was intended for. The only member in our body that could really bring in melody into our life. And yet it's so often used for that which is wrong. But we thank God this weekend for the little member, because we've heard our brethren raising their voices in prayer, consideration for one another, and praying for one another, and raising their voice in praising God and His Son. And that's what God intended the tongue to be used for. And just think of the lovely songs they've been singing, and the minister have heard today through the avenue of the little member, the tongue. Well, you know, the tongue, it sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. You know that the wickedness of the tongue has its roots in hell. It really comes from hell. And you know, it speaks of the fire of hell. The only place this word is used outside the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus uses that word 10 times, Gehenna. It's used here in connection with the tongue. Out from hell. That's where it has its root. And most that use the tongue in the wrong way are heading down to that place of Gehenna fire. The wrong use of the tongue. It sets on the nature. The whole wheel of life can be started to revolve by the wrong use of the tongue. And you know, every kind of beast and every bird and serpent and things of the sea have been tamed, but the tongue hath no man tamed. Isn't that something? How we're able to tame the dogs, the sea, and to do this, and the horse, and all the other animals, the serpents, tame them all. But the tongue, no, it can never be tamed. You think of the fire. Fire can be tamed, and it can be used for energy, as steam, and for in the smelters, and so many ways. It's the fire is so damaging. And it consumes so much and burns so much, and yet it can be so useful under control. The same with your tongue. The words you speak can burn and can hurt and cause untold damage that could never be recovered. And yet that tongue under control of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord Jesus Christ can be of the utmost value for God and for the people of God. The beast that can be tamed, the oxen and the horse, why, they can be hard and brutal in the way they act, but under control, what a power they can be used for, and useful they can be. And the same with our tongue, because if the tongue is tamed, the whole body can be used for God. But if the tongue is wrong, the body is wrong. The hands, the feet, and all the rest. You may spend most of your time working for the assembly. Thank God for that. But if you curse and speak evil of your brethren, how does that fit in? Kind of destroys the whole thing, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Just look at it. But you know, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue, although it's valuable
and grow great potential. It's full
of deadly poison. You know what that is? It's deadly arrows.
Deadly arrows stored up, and the tongue shoots them out, those deadly arrows.
And you know what the proverb says? He that uttereth slander is a fool. And that word slander is like the word for diabolical, the devil. And you know what it means? Just to throw through.
Throw through, that is, take an arrow and throw it through somebody.
Ah, but you say, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take an arrow or a gun and throw it through anyone. But with our words, they can be just as hurting.
Or worse,
to throw it through a slander. The tongue is full of deadly poison.
Oh, how we need to commit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, you know, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Isn't that a lovely language here that's used?
A fountain? Can it bring forth sweet water and bitter or salt water? Can this tree bear figs and berries?
No, friends. It either bears one or the other.
And yet out of the same mouth proceeds cursing, bitterness, and blessing. How is it we can bless God and speak well of God and speak evil of others?
It doesn't make it, does it? It doesn't sound right.
Ah, but this dear writer here shows how it's wrong. And yet it's done. Oh, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith and have the ruling place in our lives, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Oh, that it might be so. The little member on the tears too much, rips too much, damages too much, and repairs nothing.
But all the tongue under control can be such a great, great thing. I'll tell you, a soft answer turneth away wrath.
When you remember, when you've got something to go after,
just be slow now, slow to speak,
and slow to wrath, and slow to anger. The wrong use of the tongue in the home, in the assembly, amongst our neighbors.
Ah, I tell you, some things that the neighbors know about us, they should never have known. But somebody has been speaking with the tongue.
And the Philistines shouldn't know, lest the Philistines rejoice.
Many a thing should be just left. Stops here. It stops here. Never uttered again. Never uttered again. Yes, friends, you be very careful. The words that we speak not only defile ourselves, but they defile others. On a visit to Vancouver here, a year and a half or so ago, I was visiting with a relative, and you know they worked for the police department in Vancouver. She was telling me of an older lady that worked in the office. Her job was a typist. She sat and she typed the reports that the policemen brought in. And you know those policemen, they had to get all these reports down and all. And this dear woman, she sat and typed. But you know, the things that she had to type were so callous and so wicked. There were things that were actually done, but they were so filthy in themselves that this woman, unsaved no doubt, but she just had to play these things through her mind and put them on paper. You know what? It had such a defiling effect on that woman that she had a nervous breakdown. I'll tell you, friends, you cannot speak evil without it affecting your body. You cannot speak evil without it affecting somebody else's body. And if it affects my body, it will affect my mental. It will also affect my spiritual life. I believe I can prove that, and I won't take more time, but you think it over. Don't sit and listen to gossip, slander, evil reports. It'll defile your body, your mind, and hinder your spiritual life. On the other hand, don't give yourself to evil speaking, slander, or gossip.
Let it stop right there. I hear many things on the road. My wife never hears them. When I get home, I have far better things to talk about. I don't write these letters either to let her know all that goes on. I work too long in the telegraph business to know that the message stops right there. It goes no further. I get the message, but I never pass it on. Well, I'd like to say that in every case, but I'll tell you, I don't take it home. And I'm just as glad my wife would just soon not hear it either. Let us make sure then that the tongue is given its proper place under the control of God and the Holy Spirit. Remember, the way may be rough and it may be hard, but remember the load heavy, but the Lord Jesus Christ in command and the Spirit of God leading us. Let us go on for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.